please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 35, verse 18, which you'll find on page 551 in your pew Bibles. We're going to take a break from the message series on the 10 miracles of Jesus that we've been doing recently. I wanted to preach on a Thanksgiving topic today. Pastor Kevin's preaching next week, and then the following week it's going to be December, so we'll be into our Advent series. So we'll return to the 10 miracles of Jesus after the new year. But today we're going to be looking at a variety of scriptures relating to Thanksgiving, the topic of Thanksgiving. And we're going to start with this verse here in Psalm 35, verse 18. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? This is a Psalm of David. David writes, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among throngs of people, I will praise you." This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would take this scripture, the others we'll be looking at this morning, and Lord, teach us the purpose and the power and the importance of our testimonies as we give testimony to who you are and what you've done in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, this Thursday is Thanksgiving, of course, one of the major holidays here in the United States. It's probably out of all the holidays, I think Thanksgiving and Christmas are the two which really bring families together the most. And out of those two, I think Thanksgiving, we actually usually interact with and involves more extended family oftentimes than even Christmas itself. The history of Thanksgiving here in the United States is interesting. It also ties in with our theme this morning of giving testimony, public testimony of God's goodness. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated back in 1621. 2 years later, in 1623, Governor William Bradford of Massachusetts made the following proclamation. He wrote, "Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest and has made the forests to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has spared us from pestilence and disease, and has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and your little ones, do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, there to listen to your pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings." It was a proclamation, but it was also a testimony to God's goodness. It was 166 years later, fast forward to 1789, that President George Washington made the first official Thanksgiving Day proclamation. And his words are also instructive for us. "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Whereas both the houses of Congress have requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend next Thursday to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of this country." So once again, it's a wonderful testimony to God's goodness. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, discontinued Thanksgiving as a national holiday. He said, "Nope, not doing that anymore." Although various states continued to observe it, but it was observed on various dates. And it's not until you get to 1863 that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the fourth Thursday of November as the official National Thanksgiving Day. And this day was finally ratified by Congress in 1941. And so we really have this wonderful heritage as a nation as we approach Thanksgiving this Thursday. Now, I want you to notice the name of this holiday, okay? Did you notice that it is called Thanksgiving? It is not called Thanksfeeling. Have you ever thought about that? You probably haven't. Most normal people don't think about things like that, right? It's not called Thanksfeeling. It's called Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is not just a time for feeling thankful, but it is a time for giving thanks. It's a time for verbalizing, for vocalizing our thanks to God. And in our text this morning, Psalm 35:18, David talks about thanking God publicly in the great assembly. And the word that is translated "give thanks" in this verse, it's a word that actually means to confess or to praise as you give thanks. It's a word that means to publicly proclaim, to declare God's character and his works in thanksgiving and praise. It is a confession or declaration of who God is and what God does. It's important to remember as we read our Bibles that the praise of God in the Old Testament, as in the New, was public, whether it was praise among the nations or praise among God's people. We read in 1 Chronicles that the Levites stood every morning, every evening to do what? To render vocal praise and thanksgiving to God. And then they also assisted those who came to the temple with sacrifices of public praise. You might wonder, why is it so important to give thanks publicly? Why isn't it enough just to feel it in your heart? Well, it's certainly appropriate to give thanks publicly. For example, when we give out awards at an awards ceremony, or when we hand out the medals at the Olympics, or if we give someone a plaque for their service, we always do those things publicly, don't we? And that's because the public acknowledgement is an important part of the appreciation that we are expressing. And then just some things need to be spoken. They need to be verbalized. You ever hear about the wife who asked her husband, "Why don't you tell me you love me anymore?" And her husband responded, "I told you I loved you on our wedding day, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." Well, that doesn't fly in marriage, does it? And it doesn't fly for Thanksgiving either. And so when we put our Thanksgiving into words, that breathes life into our appreciation. It makes the appreciation actual and real. It authenticates and verifies that which we feel. And so it's important not just to feel thankful, but also to show appreciation, to speak words of praise, to give thanks, to give testimony concerning God's work in our lives. And that's really what we want to talk about this morning, is the importance of giving testimony, public testimony, to God's goodness in your life. True thanksgiving means more than a thankful heart. It involves giving public testimony of your thanks to God. So we're going to look at three aspects of your public testimony this morning. There's an outline in your bulletin. If you'd like to take that out to follow along and either jot down notes or see the scriptures we'll be looking at. But we're going to talk about the presence, the purpose, and the power of your public testimony of thanksgiving to God. So first of all, the presence of your testimony. Before you can give a testimony, you must first have a testimony to give, right? You must first have a testimony before you can give one. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from God our Father. As we've already seen, the pilgrims and our forefathers of our nation, they recognized this truth. Those early proclamations of thanksgiving, we saw they unanimously gave glory to God as the giver of all good gifts. David also recognized this in our text this morning, Psalm 35. And Psalm 35:18 is actually a thanksgiving that is given in advance. David is thanking God in advance. If you look through the whole psalm, if you read that verse in its context, David is talking about a situation where he is being treated unfairly. His enemies are pursuing him. They are seeking to take his life. And they are returning evil for good. And David says, man, when they were sick, I mourned for them. I prayed for them when they were sick. He says, now that I've fallen, they get together and throw a party. They're celebrating. And yet he's still praying for them. But David, in the midst of all this, he expects God to deliver him, and therefore he speaks these words of thanksgiving in advance. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among throngs of people, I will praise you. And David's thanksgiving here in Psalm 35, it teaches us that faith recognizes that God is the giver of good gifts, of all good gifts, even when our circumstances might seem otherwise. Now, let's go back to the question we started this section with. Do you have a testimony this morning? You can't give a testimony unless you have a testimony. Do you have a testimony this morning? Has God changed your life through his Son, Jesus Christ? Is God working in your life today? And can you speak his praise even in the midst of trials? Now, it's safe to say in a crowd this size that some of us are going through trials this morning, right? And whether your trial may be sickness or unemployment or depression or heartache, are you still able to thank God in the midst of your circumstances? Job in the Old Testament suffered a lot, and in the midst of his sufferings, he spoke really the truest words of faith that I can think of. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can you speak those words about God? And then outside of the sufferings and the trials, how about all the good things in your life? How about your health and your family and friendships and provisions? Do you recognize that all of this also comes from God's kind and caring hand? And then what about salvation? The greatest gift of all. Have you received God's greatest gift, the free offer of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, God's Son? And if so, then guess what? That means this morning that you have a testimony. A person who has experienced God's blessing in their life through Jesus Christ, a person who has true knowledge of what God has done for them through Jesus, will truly have a thankful heart. And then what does the Bible say about a thankful heart? Well, Colossians 2:7 says, as believers, we are overflowing with thankfulness. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, yes, as a believer, your heart should be full of thanksgiving and thankfulness. But thanksgiving, once again, it means more than a thankful heart. It means giving public testimony to God for his goodness. It means putting the thankfulness that's in your heart into words. Your heart should be overflowing with thankfulness, and that thankfulness should overflow into speech. So that's the first aspect of your testimony we want to look at this morning, the presence of your testimony. Before you can give a testimony, you must first have a testimony. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, then yes, you have a testimony that you can give. Now, secondly, we want to look at the purpose of your testimony. As we do this, I want us to remember that what we mean by the word testimony here. Because sometimes we use the word testimony in a very narrow, restrictive sense. And sometimes we use it just to talk about sharing how you came to faith in Christ. Now, that's wonderful when you give that testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. This is how I came to know Christ as my Savior. But we're using the word testimony in its broader use. Not simply about coming to faith in Christ, but really giving public thanks to God for anything he's done for you, for anything and all things, not just your salvation, but all that God does for you. And so we want to look now at the reason or the purpose for publicly giving thanks to God for what he's done in your life. We're going to look at three reasons, three purposes for giving your testimony. Number one, your testimony affirms the truth for yourself. In other words, there's a benefit for you in this. When you share your testimony, there's a benefit for you. It affirms the truth that you're speaking to your own heart. Let me illustrate this for you by comparing two scripture verses, Acts 16:31 and Romans 10:9. Acts 16:31 says this, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So you look at those verses and you go, well, which one is it? Is it believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved? Or is it confess with your mouth and you will be saved? Which one's right? And the answer is they both are, right? They're both scripture. They're both right. The person who truly believes in his heart will also confess with their mouth. And that's why the early church adopted as their basic creed, Jesus is Lord. And we still proclaim those words in our congregation today. Every time we welcome new members, anytime we have a baptism, we proclaim together, Jesus is Lord. We do the same with the Apostles' Creed. Why do we do this? Because it is important for us to verbalize our faith. And God will bless that verbal proclamation. When you share your faith with others, it affirms the truth about God in your own life. I remember one of the first times I shared my faith with someone else. I was in high school. I lived in Massachusetts. It was winter. And after sharing my faith with this person, I was just so hyped and so excited. I remember going outside and just making snowballs and throwing them at anyone and anything that came my way. You might say, well, that's a really weird way to give Thanksgiving, Pastor Ray. But hey, I was a teenager. What can you say? And I was just flinging those snowballs left and right for 30 minutes, just so excited about sharing my faith. What did that do for me? In sharing my testimony, it affirmed the truth of the things that I already believed. It affirmed it in a special way in my life. It affirms the truth for yourselves. That's the first purpose. There's a benefit for you. Second purpose for giving your testimony is that it encourages others. So there's a benefit for you, and there's a benefit for other people. Now, we talked about trials earlier. Sometimes you're doing real well in life. Sometimes you're really struggling. But we always need to hear how God is working in other people's lives. That's an encouragement to us. In fact, sometimes that's the reason why God allows certain trials in your own life. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this, that God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And so sometimes God allows certain trials in your life so that you can encourage other people dealing with those same concerns in their lives. Now, caution here. When you're sharing your testimony of how God has helped you in a trial that you went through and how God brought you through that, you still need to be sensitive to the other person going through the trial. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but mourn with those who mourn. Understand that God may have worked miraculously for you in a certain area, and yet he may choose to allow another person to walk the path of suffering in that area. And so as you share your testimony to encourage the other person, make sure you do it in a way that actually encourages them and doesn't discourage them in the midst of their suffering. When you give public thanks to God for what he has done in your life, your testimony brings great joy to other believers. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being reported all over the world. The faith of the Romans was so encouraging to Paul. The Apostle John wrote to his friend Gaius. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The fact that the church there is walking in the truth, that they had a testimony, that was encouraging to John. And so that's the second purpose for your testimony to God's goodness. Your testimony encourages other people. So there's a benefit for you. Your testimony affirms truth for yourself. There's a benefit for other people. Your testimony encourages others. And then thirdly, your testimony brings glory to God. And that's really what our theme verse is all about this morning, isn't it? Bringing glory to God through your testimony. Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great assembly among throngs of people. I will praise you. Now that should really be our greatest desire in life, right? To bring glory to God. And what better way to bring glory to God than to give public praise and thanksgiving to God for what he has done? Now sometimes we're a little shy, right? Some of us, it's hard to speak up, and you know, whether you know in a public setting or just even with a friend or a neighbor or a coworker. Sometimes we're like a river that's frozen over. Once again, growing up in Massachusetts, one of the things I like doing in the wintertime is hiking through the snow and hiking alongside the river. And you get close to that river, and it'd be frozen over in the top of the ice, but you look close, and you could see the river flowing underneath the ice. It was so cool, so beautiful. And that's the way we often are as Christians. As the water flows beneath the surface, so flows our silent thanksgiving to God. That's not that silent thanksgiving to God is a bad thing. Anytime we express thanksgiving to God, even quietly in our hearts, that's always a good thing, right? But you know, when you break open the ice on top of the river just flows that much more fuller and freely. And sometimes we need to break the ice in our lives, don't we? We need to break open the ice and take that step and open our mouths and just speak a word of public thanksgiving for God and then let that thanksgiving flow publicly. And let me assure you, God will always, always bless that step of faith. What is the purpose of your testimony? It affirms the truth to yourself. It encourages other people. It brings glory to God. Now, a good example that combines all three of those purposes is when we are in church on a Sunday morning and we are singing songs of praise to our great God and Savior. Singing is one of God's great gifts to the church. Throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God's people sing to Him. And why is that? Because it is a verbal and vocal proclamation of God's goodness. When else in a worship service do we all have the opportunity to vocally praise God out loud together? And for many believers, the majority of their vocal giving of praise and thanks to God over their lifetime will very likely come through singing. Now, we're trying to break that trend this morning, aren't we? We're trying to move it out of the sanctuary and give thanks outside of just church. But when we sing praise to God, what are we doing? Three things. The three things from your outline, right? We affirm those truths for ourselves. We encourage other people as we hear all those voices singing together. And we bring glory to God. We're giving a testimony to God. It's beautiful. Remember that when you sing in church. Focus on the meaning of those words. Joyfully proclaim God's praises. It is part of your public testimony for God. So we've talked about the presence of your testimony. You can't give a testimony unless you have one, right? We've talked about the purpose of your testimony, benefit for you, benefit for other people's, glory to God. Finally, let's talk about the power of your testimony. Back to Psalm 35, 18 now. David spoke of giving thanks in the great assembly. And the word for assembly here, that's really the same word that we use for church in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the church is the assembly of God's people. And so David is talking about testifying to God's goodness in front of God's people. We've already seen how that can be a powerful encouragement to other believers. But then do you notice what David says next? He says, I will praise you among throngs of people, in front of throngs of people. Now, this phrase simply means a whole lot of people, right? Okay, he's talking about too many people to count. And although it may include the assembly of God's people here David is stepping beyond that. He's talking about the power of extending your testimony beyond the assembly of God's people to all people everywhere, to believers and unbelievers alike. The power of your testimony even to those who don't believe in God or Christ. Certainly other scriptures talk about speaking God's praises before others. We sang that song from Psalm 105 earlier in the service today. It said, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. And so Psalm 105 talks about making known among the nations what God has done. It's not enough just to speak your testimony in church. We need to share our testimony with other people as well. And there is power in sharing your testimony, especially when you share that more narrow version of testimony of how God saved you through Jesus Christ. Because then you're actually sharing the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Did you know that the word gospel actually comes from a verb which means to publicly speak or proclaim good news? That's what the word means. It talks about public proclamation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul shares how the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And you read that and you go, that's wonderful. They turned to God from idols. They turned to the true God. Why did they do that? Well, you have to wait till you get to 2 Thessalonians to find out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says, because you believed our testimony to you. In other words, Paul and his friends, they testified. They gave testimony of God's goodness, especially God's goodness of salvation. And the Thessalonians believed. It's why Paul later tells Timothy, don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord. And that's a good word for each of us this morning, isn't it? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to testify for God at work or at school or in your neighborhood. If God's done something good in your life, then be bold. Speak up about it. Talk about it. Give God the credit for his goodness. And when you do that, that will attract people to Christ and to the gospel. Now, not everyone's going to respond positively, but some will. And they will want to hear more about this amazing God who acts and answers to your prayers. They will want to learn more about your faith in him. Why? Because there is power in your testimony. And it takes faith to speak up. But once again, God will bless that faith every time. So what is Thanksgiving? A time just for feeling thankful? Yeah, it's a time for feeling thankful, but so much more. It's also a time to give thanks and to publicly thank God for all that he has done. Growing up as a teenager, I attended a Thanksgiving at a church similar to the one that we will have later this week at our church, a Thanksgiving service with music and song and scriptures and testimonies. And it's the testimonies that I always look forward to at our church. And I always look forward to it here at our church too. And people would stand up at the church and they would give thanks for what God had done in their lives that year. And one person might stand up and say, I'm so thankful for my church. Another one, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. Or they would share, you know, very difficult things they'd gone through this year that God had helped them with. I remember one of these services when a gentleman stood up and he gave the funniest testimony I've ever heard. He stood up and people just shared these heartwarming testimonies of all these things God had done for them. And he stood up and he looked at us and he said, I am thankful today that I am not a turkey. Thanksgiving Day. You have to sit there a little bit and let that one sink in a little bit. It's like, yeah, I guess I am too. So, of course, we all got a good laugh out of that one. But then he went on. He said, let me give you my definition of a turkey. He said, a turkey is someone who has opportunity to publicly give thanks to God and fails to do it. And then he went on. He said, many times in my life, I've been a turkey. And I've had the opportunity to tell others what God has done for me, but I didn't speak up. And so I'm thankful today that I'm not a turkey, because today I'm speaking up. That's pretty good. Then he said, now I want to give everyone here the opportunity not to be a turkey today. And he said, will you repeat after me? And then he just shared two simple things with us, and we all repeated after him. He simply just said, thank you, God, for giving me life. And we repeated, and then thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for me. And then he said, now you can thank God that you're not a turkey too. And he sat down. How would you like to not be a turkey today? Will you repeat after me? Thank you, God, for giving me life. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for me. You know, this Thursday at our Thanksgiving service, we will offer a time for public sharing and thanksgiving. Now, obviously, due to time constraints, not everybody's going to be able to stand up and share something. But if you feel God is leading you to share a testimony this Thursday, even if you've never done it before, especially if you've never done it before, even if you're afraid of standing up and speaking, even if you're shy, if you feel God is leading you to share a testimony this Thursday, I would encourage you to go for it. It is a wonderful experience to publicly thank God. And then, and this really now is the application for the message, the real application. I would encourage all of us to be bold and wise in our daily lives, not just during a Thanksgiving service or a testimony service. But every day, be looking for those opportunities where you can give testimony about God and who he is and what he has done for you. The Thanksgiving holiday, it's a good reminder to us that true thanksgiving means more than a thankful heart. It means giving public testimony of your thanks to God. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you this morning for being our God, for loving us, for sending Jesus to be our Savior, for life and health and family and friendships and every good gift, every good thing in our life we owe to you. Every good gift comes from you. Oh Lord, how can we not publicly give thanks? How can we not just, as we're talking with friends, whether they know you or not, just say, oh, God is so good to me, I'm so thankful. Now Lord, I know that that testimony over time, it's going to draw people to you. It's going to give us opportunities to share the gospel. And
for people to also come to know you and your love and your kindness and your goodness and your salvation. Lord, make us bold, make us wise. Let our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.